A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Jazz Notes podcast, and Scott Mitchell and Alex Curie presenting this special of Game 2, the Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets.
Welcome on in here with us, Jazz fans. Alex Curie, Scott Mitchell here live in Houston, Texas, where the weather is hot and sticky, and frankly, so are we as we try to take some respite from the warmth outside and also from some of those Houston Rockets fans who have 100% dismissed. Maybe not 100%. There's still the naysayers out there who go, oh, no, the negative guy who thinks that their team's going to lose everything anyway. But as a majority, Scott, most of the people we talk to, and this happened last year when I was in Oakland for the second round series versus the Golden State Warriors. They just straight up went, that's so nice that you guys could come. Hey, welcome to Oracle Arena. Welcome to Toyota Center tonight. That's great that you guys are able to come out and cover the scene.
It's well, that passive-aggressive energy that they really kind of have their nose snouted up at you. And
what
just
a
said,
fun team
yeah,
you have.
Yes, yes.
It's like,
we don't ever want to go to Utah because it's boring. There's
yes.
never anything to do in Utah. Why would? In fact, why are we even playing you guys?
That's the same thing.
Find someone else to play.
Their head coach, Mike D'Antoni, famously this year at one point said, well, I don't really like Salt Lake because there's no Starbucks coffee places within like 10 miles of the stadium. And like Starbucks hits them back up. They're like, we actually have 64 locations like yeah, within
there's
like
only
a half
one
a mile.
Across the street. I don't even drink coffee and
no.
I know where all the Starbucks locations are.
So listen, however you want to take that, Jazz fans, your role has always been chip on your shoulder, smaller market, coming from behind, you know, whatever it might be, type of a team. And certainly this team is no different, Scott. When you think about where the team is now compared to where it was at the end of December and early January, this is a team who's very different now. And this is a game that's very different than Game 1. Game 1, the Jazz were absolutely outplayed. 110-94 was it, or 96, and it wasn't even that close. So when you look
yeah,
at
but you can guarantee that as a loss. I mean, just the way the schedule was, you could just go into that game and knowing
Scott,
it's just a loss, okay?
Scott
not
has this
win
thing.
This.
Scott
well,
has
I
this
do,
thing.
I understand.
Got
I know this stuff.
You've got
Alex,
it chalked up to like a conspiracy.
No, it's not so much a conspiracy.
What
well,
is it?
Well, there could be that.
I
right,
knew
well,
it. Okay, I knew well. It. Scott's got his tinfoil hat on. We'll talk about that later as to why the NBA schedules games the way that they do. We'll have the discussion a little bit later. It's coming up now more even than ever because Donovan Mitchell is having the offseason that he's having. And that's a huge deal because with that offseason that he's having, this is something that people are really, really wondering. Is Ben Simmons the Rookie of the Year or is Donovan Mitchell the Rookie of the Year? So you can weigh in. 57500 is the text number. We've got that and much more. Plus, we're going to make Scott give
weigh in. Donovan Mitchell is the Rookie of the Year because he's a rookie. The other guy is not a rookie. What
see, the
I don't
NBA,
even
the NBA
I, the ben NBA Sim- the NBA is wrong on so many on so many levels. Let me get at the NBA. I can straighten all of this out. Everything.
All right, out of the gate here. How are the Jazz going to be different in Game 2 than they were in Game 1? It's not just enough to say, well, they were tired. They were just gotten off the plane. They basically just made them play right when they came off the plane. No, they've been used to travel all year long. Certainly not at that level because they had just come off that tough series against Oklahoma City. So whether or not you want to make excuses for them in Game 1, I don't think anybody – there wasn't one person that said, yeah, this is when they're going to steal that game. It didn't feel good as soon as Game 6 got over. And the NBA said, yep, and at 1:30 on Sunday, the Jazz are going to have to play that game. It was difficult to have to swallow that because it felt like they were just going to be already down one game to none, and they are. So how are the Jazz going to be different in Game 2, Scott? Is it from an energy standpoint, I think they'll be – We heard it at shoot-around in practice today. They said, hey, we're more rested. We feel a lot better than we did – on Sunday coming into this thing, and so that's already a good start.
Yeah, and this is a team that's done very well on the road this year. You know, the second half of the season, they had, I think it was the best record in the NBA on the road, and they do a lot of those things that help you win on the road, and one of the things that's a key is having those closeout possessions, and it's about not giving the other team another shot at actually scoring, especially
right.
the most prolific and efficient offensive team in the NBA. So they've got to have that. They're really close as a basketball team, And that helps you on the road. It helps you to find that support and that energy within your team, that it's kind of us against the whole world mentality. And that's the way you have to be about this, especially in a tough place like Houston. So they have the mindset, they have the understanding, they have the experience to win games on the road. And that's part of why I think they're going to do well tonight, and they're going to do well in this series. I know I'm alone on this. And I'm okay being alone, but I'm just telling you, I think the Utah Jazz are going to do well in this series. It's not over. It's not even close to over.
That's the most ambiguous. I think they'll do well in this series.
I think they're going to win this series. There's okay. I've already said it. I said the Utah Jazz will be in the Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
I've said that all along. I'm not changing my stance.
All right.
The only downside to this is Ricky Rubio, because he's such a big part of what gets them those
what is
great
it? What
looks.
What is that? What do you mean? What does he do? Because, you know, historically, because he hasn't been the most amazing shooter. He still isn't a great shooter, but he does something for the team. He is the
vocal leader. He drives to the basket.
Yeah.
At one. And what happens is that dribble penetration, and it creates these mismatches, and that's why guys were getting all these really good open looks at shots. You give quality NBA players good open looks on offense, they're going to hit those shots. Joe Ingles is going to hit those shots. Donovan Mitchell's going to hit those shots. And then they get the mismatch where they get the interior players. They were getting a lot of good pick and rolls, a lot of switches against OKC where Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert could go inside and score. And that's what he was so good at, is just being able to run the offense. He was essentially like the quarterback on the court, which is something I understand. And so being able to get people in the right situation to do well, and they need that again. I mean, because all they did at the last part of against OKC was Donovan Mitchell at the top of the key driving to the basket. And that's something that's a little bit easier to defend.
575-00 is the text number. We're going to take your text messages on how the Jazz are going to do tonight. We'll look at some of those here during the break. And then we're also going to take your thoughts on how the Jazz can absolutely shut down James Harden. I don't think absolutely shutting him down is really going to happen. This is a guy having an MVP season. He is a different kind of scary than Russell Westbrook presented in the first series. And there is something. When somebody's having an MVP season, and Russell Westbrook, that was him last year, and this year certainly so there's some people making that argument still because he averaged a triple-double, but he wasn't as much of a threat from the three-point line as James Harden can end up being game in and game out. He feels like he is the best player that they've played against. And frankly, it's the one team that the Jazz this year really just couldn't get at, even when they were
healthy and playing
kind of at their best. And so Houston presents this problem for them. And the biggest problem is that they play amazing defense. I mean, the Jazz are a great defensive team. But I was watching the other day when I was just thinking to myself, man, Trevor Ariza, he presents a different kind of problem for the Jazz, because Donovan Mitchell isn't getting as nearly enough or the kind of looks that he got in the first series. And you're not seeing these guys. They switch around so much more, and they throw so many more bodies at Donovan Mitchell, because they know that if he starts to rise up a little bit, if he starts to have that spark, if he has a 20-point quarter like he did in Game 5 against the Thunder, that's a problem. So we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've also got some Texas Saz tips for the Jazz. So throw them,
because everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything's
yes.
bigger in Texas, so you got to give them really big suggestions as well if you want this yes. thing to work out for the Jazz.
Got
to
be big.
We'll take our break. We'll take what yours are as well at 575-00. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery here live in Houston, covering the Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets tonight. Game 2 at the Toyota Center. More to go. Stick around for those Texas-sized tips for the Jazz to win Game 2. Stay with us.
The Jazz and Rockets, NBA Round 2, a live one-hour special from Houston on KSL News Radio.
All right, coming up in a little while, I'm going to give Scott Mitchell a Texas lesson. David Bowie was not at the Alamo.
But Sting was.
So
and
was
Axl
Bono.
Rose and right. Bono.
575-00 is the text number. How did the Jazz win Game 2 tonight in Houston? We are live in Houston. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery as we chat about some of the things the Jazz need to do to win this game. A little special here for you in your noon hour walking up to Game 2. A lot of people, look, this is one of the funnest things. This is one of my favorite things that you do as a fan. Days like today where you're like, it's a Wednesday. And you know what? I know what I'm doing at 6 o'clock. We're going over to Bill's house. and we're gonna turn on, flip on the TV, and we're gonna watch the game, and we're gonna get together, and we're gonna stand up and groan with the team if they're losing, and we're gonna throw the snacks around the room if we're winning and get super excited. This is one of those fun things. My oldest son gets so pumped for this, and that's the thing I love to watch, because this is the way I was when I was a kid. You know, you watch the kids and how this is where you guys listen, Jazz fans who are out there. Bring your kids, not necessarily get them or gather them around for game two around the TV, because this is where fandom is forged.
That's where
right?
It started for me. I mean, as a kid growing up in Utah, I became a Utah Jazz fan, lifelong Utah Jazz fan. And to hear Russell Westbrook and he talks about the Utah Jazz
fans
are so disappointing and whatever, or this cast of Hamilton saying, you know, hey, would you turn your phones off? And folks are just like, what's the score of the Jazz game kind of thing. That's a Jazz fan, and I love that, and that's what's so awesome about being a Jazz fan, because we can identify with this team, and it's those things you talk about, the underdog, the one that's downtrodden and outcast. That's kind of how Utah was formed. You know, you talk about history, you know, and the history of Texas. Well, I need to teach you some Utah history and about, you know, how the state of Utah came to be, and so we celebrate the fact that we're an underdog, and we always believe. Hope springs eternal, Alex.
Gabe, I love it.
That's why it's inbred in me to believe in the Jazz. But I also have some knowledge and logic in this as well.
Oh, okay, well let's break that down. So what we're going to do right now here for you are some Texas-sized tips for the Jazz. So this is you.
That sounded like what was it, Dave?
Dave Bowie?
No.
It's David Crockett.
No.
Come on.
Who's the financial advisor guy? I can't remember his now. Dave Ramsey.
Oh,
that was your.
I heard a little. You gotta have that Dave southern. Ramsey. You gotta have that southern accent right. Going on. Because look, I was born here, and I know how it works. Everything has to be marketed and pitched a little bit bigger. So you gotta have
always something. Bigger in Texas.
Yes. So you have to have those things. So here are our Texas sized tips. For the Utah Jazz. Scott, what's your first one you want to give to the Jazz? It's got to be a big one.
No, this is a big one because, you know, they put that line as far out as they possibly can from the basket. And, of course, in Texas, they love to shoot three-pointers.
Right.
They love it, right? Harden, CP3, they're very good at it. And you as the Jazz have to extend their defense. They've got to force those two players to drive to the basket. If they start getting off, and they did, and I mean, they kind of unusually high percentage got off on three-pointers, which I don't think is going to continue to happen. But the Jazz forced them to drive to the basket, and that Chris Paul, you know, fake flopping three-point, you know, where the defender has his arm up kind of
thing.
You
got to jump into him.
You cannot get those cheap threes. And if the Jazz can, I don't want to say eliminate it, but if they can force them to the basket, it's going to be one giant size step towards winning this basketball.
I saw him figure it out. Look, I grew up here, and I don't even know what Texas toast is. I think it was a fake marketing ploy, too, where they just have thick-cut bread or whatever, and they're all...
You don't know what Texas toast is?
No, I know what it is now, but I'll be honest.
You didn't have it growing up?
I eat Texas toast. Come on. Speaking of Texas toast, Rudy Gobert has got to be massive in the middle, and Derek Favors or the Utah Jazz are going to be Texas toast.
Are going to be toasted.
Here's the deal. Last game, they did not do what they usually do. I mean, and you saw in game two of the Oklahoma Thunder series against the Jazz, who showed up so big in that game? It was Favors, 20-16 in that game two. They got him to that win. He was so huge. He came out just with tons of energy, huge energy from Derek Favors. And that's your guy who you're like, that's a bonus if he's doing well and Rudy's doing well. You have to have those two guys both firing really, really
well. So what
you're
saying is you need to take these Texas steers and lead them to the corral.
All right, now you're
And then have Gobert and Favors brand them.
Now you're taking it too far. Now you're taking it too far.
Oh, man, what an analogy.
All right, Donovan. Here's Donovan's Texas two-step I got to give him. Here's what you got to do.
Is it line dancing or is it a two-step?
It's a two-step in this case, okay? So the Donovan Mitchell Texas two-step is don't turn the ball over, and you got to match James Harden. And that whether that means if you're facing up with him on defense, great. It's not going to be a one-on-one like ISO battle all night. And you heard Quinn today at practice who said, man, the last thing we want to do is have ISO with James Harden. We got to figure out, you know, how to get that guy uncomfortable. They're trying to make him as uncomfortable as possible. Donovan Mitchell can't have turnovers, and he's so good at it. He has these massive games, and last week when he had a no-turnover game, that was the stat he was most proud of after the game, to have no turnovers. He's got to have – here's that two-step for you, no turnovers, and you got to match Harden. And I think that that's even on points, Scott. If Harden has a 32-point game, Donovan Mitchell's got to have a 32-point game to be, I think, where the Jazz can be in the position at the end of the game to get the W.
Without Ricky Rubio, you have to have a big night every night from Donovan Mitchell. I mean, you just have to. You can't. Where else are the points going to come from? So you're absolutely right. He's got to match Harden. He's got to have a big game. So the other thing that has to happen.
You got another big one?
I got another big one.
Let's hear it.
Are you okay with another big one?
No, I know. This is the Texas-sized tips for the Jazz, brother.
I got a list the size of Texas on all the things the Jazz have to do. So they got to have some consistent bench scoring. It's been really erratic. And if they'll just have two guys get in double figures, this could be. They don't have to be spectacular,
right,
but they just have to have. They have to have that bench contribution, and if they do, and if they have it early, it really makes it so much more challenging for Houston, because now they can't just zero in on Donovan Mitchell on defense.
Let me write this down.
Two.
Big off the bench.
Big off the bench.
Big off the bench.
Big
okay,
off the bench.
I'm writing it down. 57500, by the way, is the text number if you want to weigh in and give us your ideas here. No chance for the Jazz. Listen to this. The negative
Nancy's
out there. My goodness. No chance for the Jazz tonight. If they have a chance at all to even win one game, it's going to have to be at home. I'm okay
with
it.
Do you know what this is?
I'm okay with it.
You know what it is, though, don't you?
It's the insecurity.
It's like I don't want – I love this team so much that if I open up to the potential of a relationship, I'm exposing my heart, and I don't want my heart crushed. So what do they do? They just say, they'll never win. And that way I never am disappointed. Because if it's like they lose, it's like I told you so. And
right,
if they win, I'm pleasantly surprised. It's actually it's like a strategy that all really good fans employ, just so you know.
Here's another text that comes in here. Scott, I love your confidence. I hate to say it, but the Jazz are going to get swept. Going to get swept.
Oh, man.
I love it. Is that J-Mac again?
Is he playing his Doug Wright sweet music?
You come out and you go,
banned from the airwaves.
You know what's nice? I think they're going to have a nice series against come on. No one wants to hear they're going to have a nice series. Nobody even knows what that means. All right. Here's another one. Here's some other big ones I think we need to have. And your tips as well. And someone called it out, too, on the excuse end. You don't need to call – the Cleveland Cavaliers didn't have break time between their Game 7 and Game 1 either. And they came out with a win on the road in Toronto last night. You can't use that as an excuse for
Toronto
the Jazz.
Is not Houston. Sorry.
And LeBron James is on the Cavaliers.
And this is the whole conspiracy thing. The NBA
uh-oh,
wants LeBron to win.
He
does not want Toronto to win.
And
so maybe they played the game early, but I'll bet the officiating was terrible in the game. I'll just bet it was.
All right.
Phantom fouls and the whole thing.
You can keep those texts coming. I love it, too. And would you please razz Scott as much as you can? Because, frankly, this is amazing. All right. Here are the other big ones.
Amazing? Razzing me is amazing?
Yeah, yeah.
I just like
to read all the texts. Oh. We have a good laugh about it. All right. Huge. I want a giant role playing or a role player that we wouldn't necessarily hear. Sometimes Jay Crowder the other night had 23 in the first half, didn't he, against Oklahoma City. Now they ended up losing that game.
Right.
That was the massive meltdown game that we all remember. But the thing that got me the most on all of this was that I think that we need to see a role player like that for the Utah Jazz to be the most exceptional they can be, is to have a guy that comes off the bench and does really well for him. You know, maybe you get a 13-point game out of Royce O'Neal that the Rockets certainly aren't expecting. That's part of it as well. And then my final one here on the Texas size tips of the Jazz, Scott, you got to attack the basket.
Amen, brother.
Not unlike Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna attack the Alamo. I hate to bring up something that's still a sore spot here in Texas, but yeah. Hey, he went right after the Alamo. Now, it did fire up the Texans to come back during the Texas Revolution, and they ended up winning that thing. But you know what?
Always attacking the basket will lead to victory. May not be today.
May not be your victory, but yeah.
it will lead to victory.
Maybe it'll be coming back to Utah, but that'll have to be it. Okay, so those are our Texas-sized tips. When we come back from a break here, after news, traffic, and weather, here at the bottom of the hour, Scott Mitchell is going to give his Donovan Mitchell pep talk. So this is game two, and this is Donovan Mitchell's game. So, Scott, you're going to talk directly to Donovan Mitchell, the rookie, and give him some insight.
I'll give him some insight. I'll be happy to talk,
talk to him a little bit about.
In fact, I'm going to give him my cell phone number. Have him call me.
We watched him at practice today, and he looks loose, and everybody's wondering about that ankle. So we all saw the video. We'll tell you what he said about that ankle, how he's feeling about it. More to go right here on KSL News Radio as we bring you our special live from Houston. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery, the Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets tonight, 6 p.m. in Utah, 7 p.m. here in Texas. We'll see you around the corner here from news, and we'll get to our Scott Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell pep talk.
Mitchell.
You guys related?
We might be.
We'll be right back.
Way back.
All right, welcome back. We're live in Houston. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Glad to have you with us as we try to figure out how the Jazz can win Game 2 of their playoff series, the Western Conference semifinals against the Houston Rockets tonight in Houston. And, Scott, we were at shoot-around today slash practice, and what was your impression there? We hear from Coach Quinn Snyder, hear from a couple of the players. It's obvious that they're like, okay, we'll just get through this, and then I got to get back to my hotel so we can just relax here because we got to. I mean, we're hours from tip-off here, and you know, they want to go through their game day routine. What was your impression of shoot-around and just the overall how the team was feeling today just off of listening to the coach give his answer? I mean, Quinn's pretty – sometimes the players you don't feel like you're getting a real shake out of, right? Rudy Gobert's like, play basketball, magnifique, you know, and you're going, I don't think I'm getting a real –
Yeah, but it's fun to hear his accent,
that's
though.
That's true.
It's so not fitting of a basketball player.
I don't think I'm getting the full shake from the players here. But Quinn Snyder's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I think that for me personally, it was a fun thing to do. I've never been to an NBA shoot-around before. It does bring back memories of playing. You know, there is a routine. There's a process you go through all week long. Different parts of the week, you know, have their different rhythms and the practice. So it's kind of fun to see that. One of the things that kind of jumped out at me just in general was just how you see all these players and they have this confidence to themselves, almost an arrogance. I don't want to say they're arrogant, but they're kind of arrogant. You know, they're full of being basketball players, and it's like, man, you guys, you're just normal people, right? I've been on that side of it. I know the whole thing.
You thought you were a cool football player,
100%. You absolutely do, and it's just kind of fun to watch that side of it. But there was a part of it that really caught my eye, and it was a question asked of Coach Snyder about Kobe Bryant giving Donovan Mitchell advice.
Right? On the video.
And Donovan's actually watched it twice. You know, he actually went back and said, hey, wait a minute, that guy knows what he's talking about. And on my show, Helmets Off, I've actually said, and you can go look, it's already there. I'm just telling you, because you know I can see into the future. I said, if I'm Donovan Mitchell, as soon as the season's over, the first person I'm going to go talk to is Kobe Bryant.
Why?
Because because Kobe Bryant,
you don't want Donovan Mitchell to become a jerk, though, do you?
No, it's not a jerk. It's learning how to prepare yourself and how to take your game to that next level, how to take your game to that elite level. Because Kobe Bryant's work ethic and it's a lot, you know, because his whole deal was Michael Jordan and he wanted to be like Michael Jordan,
right?
And so go to those guys, and that was the one thing that really I got the most out of the shoot around was. Because Coach Snyder was asked that question, how do you feel about the advice that Kobe's giving to Donovan Mitchell? And he was kind of taken aback a little bit by the question because he's like, well, I'm the coach, you know. But then he said, look, we all learn from other people, and I'm never one to not take the advice or to learn from players. He says, I've learned a tremendous amount from players through my coaching career. He says, so I'm never one to diminish any of that. And I agree. I 100% agree with that. I was kind of surprised and actually glad to hear that. And I understand Kobe's deal is just, you know, for his work assignment or whatever he's doing, but that he picked Donovan Mitchell and the advice that he gave him and the things that he said. And I think it was very appropriate.
So he has those two games, or he basically has a game and then he breaks down the guy.
Yeah.
And this isn't the first time that he's talked about Donovan Mitchell before, but yeah, Kobe's actually pretty effusive about how good of a player he is, how explosive he is. You and I both commented today, and I've been to a handful of these shoot-arounds and games this year at Vivint Arena where you go, oh, yeah, Donovan Mitchell, that guy's not 6'3", which makes it even more impressive.
Right. That was the first thing that I said. He's a little dude.
Yeah.
He's like just a normal-sized guy.
Yeah.
And that really surprised me, actually.
Tonight in this matchup, and everybody's been talking about this on a national level. The only way that the Jazz get talked about on this national level a little bit right now is that they're playing the Rockets. And then, two, this discussion about Ben Simmons and Donovan Mitchell. And before we get to that discussion in this next segment here, I want you to, if you could get to Donovan Mitchell and just kind of give him a pep talk before tonight's game, get in the head of being one of his coaches or being Quinn Snyder, and let's go Mitchell to Mitchell here. What do you tell Donovan Mitchell as his little pep talk right here?
Well, the thing that I'm excited about to begin with is that he's actually reaching out to legends like Kobe. So that tells me this guy, he's just not happy being here, and that there's this process. And the first thing I'd say to him is, these games, these moments are when your legacy is defined. And what do you want your legacy to be? What is it that you want to be remembered for? Just a guy that showed up in the playoffs, or a guy that said, look, I'm going to take this team on my back. No one believes in us, and I'm going to beat a team that no one expects us to beat. Because your destiny is not determined. If it's determined, why do we play the game? Who cares? Let's just not play. Let's just go. Let's save ourselves all the hassle. Let's go to Burns Barbecue, you know, or go to the baseball game and not even go play this game. Your destiny is not defined, and you need to just lock out all of that crazy noise, whether it's the fans, the media, whatever, and you determine what your destiny is. And the way you do it is you keep this game simple. And I loved your comments earlier about the Texas two-step, right? Don't turn over the ball, and you got to match the play of Harden, right? And so keep this game simple in your head. The simpler we keep the complex things, the greater ability we have of being ourselves and performing at our highest level. So I love that.
One thing that that was talked about today is people like to – and it was asked yesterday at practice, how's Donovan Mitchell's ankle? And he looks fine. Did you think to yourself, oh, he's got a hitch. No. He's got ice on his ankle. None of that. He looks like he's just in a perfect kind of spot. He was talking trash at the end of practice with his guys. They look like they genuinely kind of get along, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were, and that's very apparent, and it has been.
You don't have to fake it. And some of these guys, when it doesn't work, they're just there and they're putting in the hours and they're just there for work. You know, it just seems like they're trying to make that happen. The team thing is there, and but he says his ankle's 100%. And they were like, did you see the video of yourself with the ankle that turned over? And he goes, oh yeah. It looked awful. It looked awful. It looks like I broke it, but I did not, and I'm still 100%. And he doesn't look anything otherwise.
Professional athletes, they could have their arm cut off, right? It's just wired differently.
Play.
I mean, you know, I there's so many players that whether they're injured or whatever, they're going to show up and they're going to play, and that's part of. Of creating your own legacy, and that no matter what, there was never an excuse, and I showed up and I played, and I played 100% in whatever circumstance it might be and in whatever condition my body was in.
How did the Jazz, what's their biggest problem tonight? I know the easy answer is James Harden, but I mean, that's your presumptive MVP. If your preparation revolves too much around it, or can it revolve too much around James Harden? I mean, Chris Paul will hurt you. They have all
a great basketball team.
They have all sorts of weapons.
I mean,
I'm looking at this
game. Bench that's really strong.
Super deep.
Yeah.
And they've got great defense. And I noticed that Clint Capella was playing in the middle, kind of one and a half times what he usually does, in the sense that he looked like he was outperforming Rudy Gobert at times in the game, out-rebounding Derek
Hustling
Favors.
Up and down the court.
Yes, and so what's the biggest problem for the Utah Jazz tonight?
Well, the biggest problem to me is really them. It's the Jazz, you know, and it's about runs. You know, everyone says teams make runs. They the momentum goes one way or the other, and the Jazz have to find a way to answer back. Whatever that means, if it's hustling down the court, if it's getting those closeout possessions and only letting him shoot the ball once on off the Houston Rockets once on offense, it's about Donovan Mitchell not he's got to go and attack the basket, but he can't force things. He can't play outside of himself. You know, there's this whole desire to, like, do too much, and that's why we referenced keep the game simple. Don't overthink it. Let it come to you to some degree. But there has to be this answer back, and that's what, you know, you talked about, you know, understanding this as a professional athlete and how it's inbred in you.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know we're going to do this. But you understand that you're playing good teams and good players, and they're going to make good plays. And you can't let it, like, psych you out or demoralize you or defeat you. You have to answer back. And okay, they won the first game, but we have to answer back. And
would you say that those things were inbred in you?
Yes. You don't ask me how it happened,
sort of.
Whether it was artificial or any other way.
Man.
But it was. You just understood that, you know, there's no such thing as defeat. We're going to fight this to the end. We're going to answer back all the time. And you just that's just the way you're wired. Okay? It's the way you're wired, and that's the way you deal with it. And it isn't like the normal average person thinking.
Here's another text coming in here before we take our last break here of our special. If they move the ball like they can, don't turn the ball over. Favors and Gobert have huge games. They can win. Oh, and Harden forgets how to shoot. So there's this like,
but that's a reality though because Harden
you do need
and Chris
to have
Paul,
him have a bad game.
They
right?
and they have in the playoffs before.
Yes, and last series they had. Look, I was reading all. Well, my favorite thing to do was already this morning is I was listening to some of the talk radio,
locally,
the local yeah. stuff. And they were like, and some guy calls in, and they had to cut him off because he cussed on the air. And I thought, that's perfect for Texas, right?
He's going to go to Oklahoma and go fishing with that other guy.
The other guy. He comes in, and he starts cussing about, man, we can't take anything for granted. I'll tell you what, I don't know if you saw it, but in the Minnesota series, Harden looked like crap at times. You know, he starts doing this whole thing. And then you just hear it cut off and go, well, he started cussing in there, so we had to turn him off. And I thought, well, it does happen. And that's what they relied on in some of these games with Russell,
Westbrook and
with
Paul
Russell Westbrook
and, yeah.
and George Paul. Paul George. George, Paul, John.
If you're going to rely on three-pointers and jump shots,
it's a tough life to live by.
It is.
Yeah. By the way, if you're wondering who some of the leaders were at the Alamo, and look, when I grew up here in Texas, you had to take Texas
Hall & Oates. Were they there?
It was not David Bowie. It was Davy Crockett and James Bowie.
Thank you.
Those are the two biggest leaders there. William Travis all died on March 6, 1836. And
Bill Clinton, was he there? George
Bono.
W. Bush.
All right, just start throwing in a bunch of famous people that have set foot in the state of Texas. You'll probably be right. We'll take the break here. When we come back, we will have that discussion about Rookie of the Year. Donovan Mitchell or Ben Simmons, it's coming up. Everybody wants to know who's the real Rookie of the Year. We'll tell you next on our special here. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, live in Houston. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell here with you. Just going over some of the Battle of the Alamo history. I'm just giving Scott a little bit of Texas history since we're down here, and we felt like there were some metaphors that could have been aptly used in tonight's Game 2 Rockets-Jazz matchup here in Houston. We're walking around the Toyota Center today, and a lot of fans were walking up and, Scott Mitchell, I want to talk to Scott Mitchell. No, I mean, Rocket fans were coming up and taking pictures of the stadium. They have that huge banner with all the players on it. It's cool. Cool sight.
Houston's a great city. Houston's, it really is. It's
been a ton of fun. We've only been here for a day. Yeah. But we've lived a lifetime in a day. We've done quite a bit in just one day. And it's
all
fun.
Of it worked, though.
We got lost in a residential neighborhood and ended up at a barbecue joint, and it was tremendous. Scott ordered 6 pounds of meat. What was it? I don't know what it was.
It was a Major League Baseball special.
I couldn't believe you didn't. There was one on the menu called the NBA playoffs.
Yeah,
and you didn't order it.
It wasn't enough.
You wanted enough meat on that bone. Yes. So as we're going through here and discussing things, one of the things that keeps coming up is Donovan Mitchell's play in the postseason. And Rookie of the Year, people are going, oh, this will put him over the top for Rookie of the Year, but the votes have been cast. So they've already done the voting. Those will be rolled out.
His fate is already sealed.
It's already been sealed. Yeah. And because one of the things is you saw that Jalen Rose, who voted for Ben Simmons, he famously already came out and apologized and said, I should have voted for you.
Yeah.
And I'm sad because I think that's an indication as to where a lot of people's heads were at the end of the season. Donovan Mitchell led rookies all by far in points. Certainly in excitement, I think. He's not an East Coast player, and that's a strike against him. He's not playing on the East Coast, and the NBA is an East Coast league.
Which is
just watch SportsCenter, where they're just covering LeBron and the Raptors.
And all the best teams are in the West.
And they're on the West.
It's like, come on.
It bothers me. And there's that bias
there. You should
be
bothered.
I'm all sorts of mad about it. So I have a way
to voice your anger.
So here comes the Scott Mitchell conspiracies.
No,
you know the NBA is trying to just
no.
They
I'm
just
not
want to
get
see LeBron
conspiracies.
Against
a woman in Nashville was so furious about things that were happening with the Predators, right?
Right,
the hockey team,
the Preds. Yeah.
That she actually mailed two catfish to the league headquarters.
That's right.
And it was hilarious. And she says, and I didn't even put him on ice.
Well,
so there's your way to get back to that.
What can
I
we
think
send
the
them?
Two of us should what send something to the NBA headquarters.
Because that's their thing, because they throw the octopus on the ice in Detroit.
We'll send Brian Shrimp from the Great Salt Lake.
Or, you know what? Hit him with a heavy dose of the fry sauce and then ship him off. So Brian Shrimp in fry sauce, boom, send it off.
Or a whole big hive of bees.
On top of all of it.
Yeah.
So that's how we get to the NBA office. You guys aren't paying attention enough to us. Donovan Mitchell has 27.5 points a game here in the playoffs. He hasn't scored under 20 points yet in his first seven playoff games. And that's some rare company. The only other people that have done that in their first seven playoff games is Wilt Chamberlain. And they called him Lou Alcindor back then. Yeah.
Did you know who that was when they put that up?
Of course. Okay. I asked my wife. I go, hey, you know who that is? And she's all, huh? And I go, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Her response, perfect. Oh, the guy in Dancing with the Stars this year. I went, yes, you got it.
Well, of course, that's how women understand those things.
So
and she probably told you what he wore.
Let me ask you this, Scott. Is Donovan Mitchell – Is it more impressive to have all those triple doubles like Ben Simmons has done this year? And I know your beef. Throw the beef out the window because they consider him a rookie. They consider him a rookie, Ben Simmons, even though he was in the league not playing last year. So has he had a better body of work considering the fact that the Sixers have had a bigger turnaround in terms of record? They've had Ben Simmons had all those triple doubles as a rookie. Is it more impressive what he's done, and should he be Rookie of the Year?
So as far as what Ben Simmons has done, he's been a very complete player in that he can do so much. He can rebound, he can assist, he can score. Donovan Mitchell, predominantly, although he's very much dialed into the team concept, tends to be more of a scorer. You really could argue either way. I mean, if you're just looking at this objectively, you could certainly argue either way. And I think a lot of people just say, maybe Ben Simmons looks a little bit more like how LeBron plays, and maybe it's more of that type of player, and maybe they people are accounting more for those other aspects of playing basketball, whether it's rebounding. Now you look at Donovan Mitchell today, and you go, well, how the heck can he rebound? He's only 6 feet tall. I mean, he can only be max 6'1". I'm just telling you right now. But for me, what it is. And I have a hard time getting over this, and I still think it's part of my argument. I understand the league, recognizes him as just a rookie because he didn't play last year. I don't care what you say. If Donovan Mitchell had come to Utah a year ago, and you listen to all the NBA players, they say the same thing. They go, oh, there's an advantage to that. You get a feel for it. You get to watch and observe and hear and listen, and that rubs off on you. It completely rubs off on you. So there is it's just hard to compare the two because you can't quantify how much, because it did help Ben Simmons to be in the NBA a year ago. Now how much was that? I don't know, but it there is something to it. So it's just not a fair comparison. But the other thing, the last thing for me is look what Donovan Mitchell has done with this franchise. He hasn't come in like a rookie. He says that this is Donovan Mitchell's team. He's a bona fide superstar player in the NBA, and he's done it spectacularly on a very consistent night in and night out performance. And he just answers every new situation and challenge that's come his way.
Let me throw some numbers at you here, Scott. I'll throw you the number. You have to guess what it is. Okay, get creative now.
The only number that's important is 19. Any other number, I don't care about.
Oh, the old Scott Mitchell 19 there. Yeah. I love how you have your own is it a thumb wrestler that we have at the station? What is that? Just your
no, that's my mini me.
The figurine.
I have an action figure.
Yeah, you have an action figure.
Helmet comes off, which
helmet actually technically doesn't
fit. In
fact,
if you want to hear a good show, you really should tune into my podcast, Helmets Off.
Oh, so if you want to hear a good show.
Or if you want to
watch the inflection there, Mitchell. Yeah. All right.
I'm not inferring that this is a bad show. I enjoy every minute I'm with you, Alex.
Let me throw
I can't
some
wait
numbers.
For the next moment we're on the air together.
All right. The numbers I'm gonna throw at you. 17. Why is that important? The number 17 for this series, what does it mean?
For this series?
Yeah.
For this series, why is 17 important?
17 is important. The Rockets made 17 of 31 three-pointers the other night.
Oh, no, they were like 53%.
It's like almost 54% from the three-point range.
It's much higher than their season average.
Of course it is.
So it's an aberration.
But they also make 15 three-pointers a game.
Right.
No, that's their deal. I mean, they led the NBA by a lot. So the second-place team in the NBA is the Nets with 12.
Yeah.
So the next number that's important, 7.8. Why is that an important number?
That's turnovers.
That's the number of assists that Ricky Rubio provided.
Oh.
In the playoffs.
He's going to be a hard person to replace.
He's been as advertised. It's the thing that everybody hoped that he would be.
Yeah.
He was this year.
And he scored.
So it's like a bonus.
And
he's almost 9 rebounds a game too, which is just as impressive. How about 34.7? You should get this one.
34.7?
Yeah.
That's Harden's average on
That's
the
right. In the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
So in the regular season, James Harden's points per game is 30 points a game, which is already very impressive. But
So he stepped it up.
In the postseason, in these games that he's been playing, he's almost 35 a game. 34.7 points a game. He's really turned it up, and that's a huge one because the Jazz have got to figure out an answer for this guy. How about 38-8? 38-8. How's that important?
38-8?
Uh-huh.
That's the home schedule.
That's the Rockets' record this year when they're playing with Clint Capella, the big guy in the middle. I mean, when he's
in the game,
he creates something that the Jazz get from Rudy Gobert, which is, there's something extra that he provides here that gets teams off just a little bit.
It's called a big sequoia.
And yes,
this massive
he just jumps
amount
up
the, of person right in the middle. Too.
Did you see my favorite part of the game, even though it was a loss on Sunday, was there was a goaltend. There's 2 points for the Jazz. Clint Capella went up about a foot and a half above the white square to like pin a ball up against the top of the backboard. And I went, okay.
He pinned it on the shot clock.
I was like, excuse me. So there you go. And then the number two. This one's a big one, Jazz fans. The number two. Rudy Gobert. Utah finished the regular season with the NBA's second best defense in points per game, number one in defensive efficiency. So, and then on top of all this, though, Houston behind Harden and Chris Paul, number two in scoring in the league at 112 a game. So you have this combination of amazing offense, really, really
great
defense.
Which one's going to win out over 7 games?
And when they're both healthy tonight, I will be really interested to see how it goes. So, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with me today, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
It's been a fun time in Houston.
Yep.
We've had a great time. And we hope that you will tune in tonight and, of course, watch your Utah Jazz. Get those families together and forge Jazz fandom for the rest of your family's lives tonight as the Jazz take on the Houston Rockets. Game 2 in Houston, 6 o'clock here, or for you guys in Utah, 7 o'clock here in Texas. We'll see you on the flip side, everybody.